And welcome back once again to How to Survive 2025. I'm Brian Keene.
I'm Dacia M. Arnold.
I am Jim Cobb.
Hello, Jim Cobb. Hello, Dacia M. Arnold.
Hello, Brian Keene.
Last week's episode was pretty heavy, so I'm trying to keep us upbeat here.
Shake it off a little bit.
What's that?
Shake it off a little bit. We'll be all right.
Yeah, I was telling my wife yesterday, just got to shake it off.
Oh, is that a Tay Tay song?
No, we
it serves multiple purposes, because not only is it a reference to that, but it also is a nice segue to what Brian's going to tell us about.
Yeah, you guys asked me to talk about this on the air. I did not clear that with her, but since she tweeted about it, I'm assuming I'm allowed to talk about it on the air. Every year we go to Centralia, Pennsylvania. It's the place we've been going to for 13 years. If you're not familiar with the history, that's okay. It's basically, it was a mining town, a coal mining town. And decades ago, the coal mine caught on fire. It's still burning today. Government seized the town through public domain. There are now two people who still live there. Once they're gone, their houses will also be seized and demolished. But over 13 years' time, it's been an interesting study in how nature reclaims an abandoned place. The houses all used to still be there, the fire hydrants, the sidewalks, the roads, almost all of that is now gone. My wife Mary was atop probably an 8-foot pile of rubble where the highway used to be, and she took a tumble, cut up both her hands and her forearms and hit her head. And I guess Jim wanted me to bring it up on the air because I was prepared. I knew exactly what to do. It was everything we talked about on the show. I surveyed her there at the site. I kept her calm. I kept her focused. When she was ready, I got her back to the truck where I administered first aid. And yeah, she's fine. Downstairs resting now. A little bit of ibuprofen, a little bit of bandages. But yeah, I had the whole kit in the truck and everything. So, it's good to be prepared.
Yep, I was going to say, you're talking like you're a real prepper.
Yeah. And you know what I told her? I told her it's going to be okay. And you know what? It's going to be okay.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Nice.
Oh,
nice.
Poor Mary. I slid down. I did something similar at Yellowstone, which was like kind of embarrassing. I think I hurt my pride more than my body.
Yeah, her pride was a little banged up too.
A little banged up.
I made her laugh. So that's my skill set is making them laugh. So, but all right. Well, I don't know that we'll inspire much laughter with our answers to the questions, but yeah, listeners, we put it out to you. Did you have questions for us? Is there something we haven't talked about yet that you'd like us to touch upon? And you responded. So question number one, and I don't have, the names of the listeners who asked these, and that's probably well, because people, we want to protect your privacy. Yeah. Question number one, Jim and Dacia, what level of first aid should I know? Not me, Brian Keene, but the listener.
Well, my answer for that would be as much as possible, as much as you're comfortable investing the time to learn. I mean, at a very basic level, I mean, the bare minimum should be first aid, AED, stop the bleed, and a very basic level of first aid, the bumps, the bruises, that kind of thing. Beyond that, the sky's the limit. I know people personally who have gone all the way through EMT training and beyond with no intention of being EMTs. They just want that education, they want that training. Now, that's a considerable investment of, not just financial, but energy, time, everything else. But I don't see a downside to learning those skills. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can only benefit you down the road at some point. And if you live a charmed life and you never once ever need to know that information, so much the better. But all you need to do is help one person get through something. And as far as I'm concerned, it's all worth it. Yeah.
I'm going to take a page out of Jim's book and say the bare minimum of first aid that you should know is how to use the equipment that you have. If you have Band-Aids, know how to use your Band-Aids. If you have Ace Wrap, Coban, if you have that quick clot stuff, you should know how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe don't practice with it. It's kind of expensive. But definitely be familiar with the things that you have so that you know how to use it.
Yep.
The absolute, like, pardon my French, but balls to the wall intense training you can get is tactical combat casualty care.
Yep.
And that is what they teach combat medics before going into the battlefield. And basically they shut you in a dark room with strobe lights and a bunch of people screaming at you. And you have to check off and do all the tasks, mm-hmm. to include making sure the scene is safe before you go in, you don your PPE, and then you treat, hey, dude, are you okay? Are you okay? And go from there.
Now, one thing I do want to mention, that type of training, that's not beginner level.
Oh, no.
You don't start there.
No.
You know, and I worry sometimes when we talk about some of these more advanced training opportunities that people feel like, well, you know, I know first aid. I can just jump ahead. You really don't want to do that in this case. It's not going to end well for you.
Should a listener be going to their favorite YouTuber to learn first aid? Where should they go? Where's an actual credited?
One of the best, if we want to talk about online resources that are basically free to peruse, go to doomandbloom.net.
Say Doom one more Bloom? Time.
Doomandbloom.net. Dr. Joe Alton and his wife, Amy Alton, they're not only very good friends of mine, they are eminently qualified to talk about medical, what they term as medical needs in austere settings. Okay. Joe, he earned the nickname years ago, Dr. Bones. Okay. Bones and Amy. And they've been around for a long time teaching this stuff to prepare preppers and survivalists. They have a storefront on their website as well, where you can buy all manner of kits and all that, but they have an outstanding blog. They do a ton of videos where they show you exactly how to do and how to handle certain medical situations if you're not 5 minutes away from your local ER, okay? No, you're not going to become certified in anything watching YouTube.
No, absolutely.
But there are resources like Joe and Amy out there who are very qualified, and even better, they know how to teach the skills and information. You know, and that's one of the things, as like I'm the editor of a magazine. I'm the editor of Backwoods Survival Guide. And one of the things that I run into from time to time is a writer who's really, really knowledgeable in an area, but they're not real great at communicating that information.
Mm-hmm.
They're not very good at explaining it. I mean, I think we've all had the experience of working somewhere where they assign you somebody who's going to train you, and they're horrible at training. They know the job inside and out, but they just don't have that capability of being able to teach it to you effectively. You know, Joe and Amy aren't like that. They're very talented instructors in addition to being very knowledgeable. Honestly, they're my go-to with anything medical. You know, that's where I start, and then I branch off from there if need be.
Mm-hmm. And for basic CPR, your YMCA.
Yep.
It's a great place to go. Firehouse. If you guys have fire station, they'll be able to supply you with information and places to go. Mm-hmm. Basic CPR should be, you can, I don't know if there's even an age limit or like a, like you can be super young. Kids learn for their first mm-hmm. jobs yep. As lifeguards in the pool. Mm-hmm. To take your kids, everyone should learn the Heimlich maneuver, CPR, yes. how to place an AED.
Mm-hmm. Now, another place you can look for CPR training is contact your local hospital. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they have community outreach programs where they'd be happy to organize a class. You just have to give them a location. You know, I did that earlier this year. I reached out to an instructor I knew who was qualified in CPR, AED, stop the bleed, advanced first aid, the whole nine yards. And I set up a class in my community. We had about, I think, 15 people show up. Oh, it was an all-day thing. I mean, we're talking 10 hours to get through all of it. But it was just a massive amount of information that got shared. It was really, really cool.
One thing I would add to our listeners, you know, it never hurts to refresh your memory. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you're listening right now and you're thinking, well, I worked one summer as a lifeguard when I was 16. I know all that stuff, but you know, now you're 55 years old. You probably don't know as much as you think.
Right.
You know, it never hurts to update your knowledge, refresh your knowledge, etc. Mm-hmm. All right. Next.
Well, question. And you might, you know, if it's been a while, you might learn that, you know, the vapors aren't the thing anymore.
They yeah. do change. I've yeah. done it here every year for the last 20 years, and I feel like it does change every year.
We don't throw holes in people's heads to release the spirits anymore.
The CPR still use the BG Staying Alive, or have they updated?
I do. Yeah.
You know the other song that works well? Another One Bites the Dust.
That's another one too, yeah.
There we go. Probably not what you want to be humming though, as you're trying to save someone's life.
I don't care if it's the right rhythm and you're doing it deep enough and it is effective. I don't care what you sing. Like, you sing Cher. I don't care.
All right.
Leave it left. Go on. Don't mind me. It's late.
You know me. We'll do a karaoke throwdown. I don't think listeners want
that.
Oh,
boy.
All right, next question, and this is probably going to be one we're going to talk on at some length. For someone who knows nothing about firearms, where does one start? It's a great question. It's one that we are, in fact, going to do an entire show on, folks, later on in the series. Probably actually not much longer. We should get to that soon. But... Mm-hmm. Basic for this listener, where does one start, Jim? You want to take us?
What I recommend, number one, is find a local gun shop that ideally has a range attached to it or affiliated where you can rent firearms and you can try different firearms out. It's kind of like the question about, you know, what's the best knife to get or what's the best this or that. There's so many different variables that come into play when it comes to choosing a firearm. I mean, not the least of which is hand size. You know, what is going to be comfortable for you to hold? What is going to be comfortable for you to operate and manipulate and maneuver and aim and fire and absorb the recoil? The whole nine yards. There's a lot that goes into this decision, and it's not something that, you know, I mean, firearms aren't cheap. That, you know, you can't just go in and plunk down $50 and get a Saturday Night Special anymore. You've got to put down some serious money. And as we talked about in a previous episode, you got to triple that investment minimum in training in order to become at least reasonably competent with that firearm. So if you're going to be spending a lot of time with it, make sure it's something you like. Make sure it's something that you're comfortable using. Don't be afraid to go with a smaller caliber if that's more comfortable for you to use.
Well, it also depends on what your goals are.
True.
So if you want something small just to have and keep in your purse, or like, you know, Mrs. Smith in your garter, or like, you know, in your area, with a license. It doesn't have to be big or small. It's going to get the job done, essentially. A bullet's a bullet.
Right. Yeah. And I would like to add on that. It depends on what you want the firearm for. You know, the listener didn't specify. I'm assuming home defense, personal defense. If you're looking for something for hunting, you're going to want a rifle.
Yep.
And you're not going to want an AR-15. You don't need an AR-15 to kill a deer. You know, every year I see all hordes of people out here in the woods around my house with, you know, AR-15 styled weapons for deer hunting. I don't know what the hell that they're feeding the deer.
Is that illegal in the state?
Nah, I don't know if it's
to be honest, like, it is the only thing that I am accurate with. Like, with iron sights, like, I'm the dead shot, but
yeah,
a good handguns, it's a little rusty.
A good rule of thumb is a rifle is a weapon that you use to take out the threat or the opponent until you can get back to where your handgun is. Handgun is for close quarters combat. You know, when you watch the movies and Ryan Reynolds shoots his little 38 special at the helicopter and the helicopter blows up. No, that's not what the handgun is for. The handgun is, you know, the intruder has broken into your home. They're in the room with you and your loved ones. They're approaching. And I'm going to assume that's what this listener wants, this firearm for. The other thing I would add, you know, Jim said, go find your local gun store. I try to keep in mind that our listeners come from many walks of life. And you may find that your local gun store is not a place where you are comfortable. I think of the local gun store. Yeah. There's a local gun store a mile away from my house. I buy my firearms 20 minutes away from my house. That's because the guy here at my local gun store is an idiot. You know, he's got all kinds of political signs out front, and they're handmade. They're nothing he bought. You know, it's magic marker on cardboard about, you know, save the country, shoot a progressive today, you know. I'm not buying a gun from that man, and I suspect that many of our listeners aren't going to want to. Find a place you're comfortable with.
There are places in strip malls, like bigger name stores.
Yeah,
you know, that are relatively safe, that are going to be helpful.
And like Jim said, find a salesperson that's knowledgeable. You're not going to find that probably at Walmart. Walmart will be happy to sell you a gun if the Walmart in your state, you know, is allowed to sell you firearms by law. They're happy to sell you one, but you're probably not going to get the most knowledgeable person behind the counter. There's a lot of forethought before you even go to the store.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
Anything else about firearms, guys?
Stock up on ammo. If you are practicing with it the way you should, you're going to burn through a lot of ammunition right out of the gate.
I have a prepper question.
Yeah.
It has to do with ammo. Is it practical to repack your shells?
Sure.
I reload.
Reloading?
Yeah. Really? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is it, what's the investment like?
I mean, I can't speak personally to that because I do it with a group of friends. So we all chip in.
Yeah.
So our investment is out of pocket is probably a little less than a solo person, like if Jim's doing it by himself. But I actually, it's actually become a social gathering situation for us.
It sounds like a lot of fun, actually.
It's actually a good reason for us all to get together and hang out for an evening. And yeah, we just reload.
Nice.
Yeah. Actually, maybe we should, when we do a firearms episode, maybe we should spend a little time talking about reloading as well.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
All right. Next question. In the city or suburbs, How do you protect small farm animals, chickens, goats, etc., from being taken for food?
You don't tell the HOA.
Yeah, that's a good start. That is definitely a good start.
You can't necessarily bring them inside, but if you, like in the wintertime, if you have small animals.
You're not going to let them run free range.
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to have them confined in some way, mm-hmm. you know, in your yard or whatever. You're going to have a coop for the chickens at night, things like that. The best way or the best approach is just like you would secure your home. Okay. Cameras are great for when you have electricity for them. Some type of alarm system, things like that. You know, dogs are a marvelous security system. You're not going to, this isn't a 100% solvable problem. Okay. If enough people want what you have badly enough, they're going to get it. All you can do is make the cost of it a little higher than what they might want to spend. Okay. I don't want to dive too deep into the total societal collapse.
Yeah, that's what
you know,
thinking.
That type of thing. But there's something to be said for a strong offense.
And for chickens, I mean, a weasel can come in.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, to Jim's point, you know, I built a chicken coop for my ex-wife. She had 7 chickens, her and my boy. And I went all out. I say I built. My father did most of the work. I'm lucky if I can hammer a nail straight. But we went all out. We actually, before we put down the foundation, like we dug into the earth.
Good. I was going to ask.
Chicken wire under the dirt, you know, so nothing could tunnel up through. It was equipped with cameras. It was equipped with motion sensing lights. A very hungry weasel still managed to get in that chicken coop. Took him about a year, but he still managed to get in that chicken coop. And she was traumatized because she went out one morning and every single one of her chickens was dead.
That's funny.
It's not funny. Yeah. I mean, you know, the weasels. You know it's a weasel because they don't eat the chicken. They only drink the blood. You know, that is despite all that effort.
That's true.
You know, but it took a year for the weasel to figure out how to chew his way through the chicken wire. So, you know, my point is, in a survival situation, in a grid collapse situation, if someone is hungry enough, they're going to get to what you have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you need to plan accordingly for that.
Yep.
You know, the other thing you might try to do is barter, you know, hey, I'll trade you one of my chickens for that bottle of OxyContin you've got, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or better yet, I'll give you a dozen eggs because my chickens can make more eggs.
Yep.
I'm gonna have house chickens at that point.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yep. All right. Next question here. Now, I'm not sure in what scenario this question applies. The listener asked, what if you're homeless? Now, here's something that the general public most probably don't know about me. I don't think it's on my Wikipedia page. I don't think it's come up when I've been on CNN or Fox.
But add it to the Wikipedia page.
I don't think it's come up. I was homeless for about a month in my early 20s. After I'd gotten out of the military, I'd gone through some bad times and I ended up homeless for about a month. That wasn't a problem for me because it was summer and, you know, I had my wits. I had street smarts. I knew how to get food. I knew how to get money. I knew where to sleep safely. And I did it for a month until I had the means and the money to get back on my feet. You know, in a situation where you are homeless, if you're not physically disabled, I don't mean this to sound funny. I'm not trying to make light of it, but unless you're physically disabled, you're actually in a better starting point than somebody who has a home and has stuff and belongings and all that. You're transient, which means you can move. You know, as soon as something happens, you can pick up and go. You know, you have the ability to go off grid and get out in the woods and survive until you get back on your feet. You know, I'm not sure what this question, what situation this question applies to. If it's, you know, if it's how to
survive a hurricane when you're homeless.
Yeah. Like, that's a great question. I would say that, you know, the shelters are as open to you as they are the suburban nuclear family who's heading to that same shelter.
Yeah.
You know, you might be stymied by the fact that you don't have a vehicle when others do. Maybe you take one of Jim's chickens and you trade a dozen eggs for a ride. I'm making light of the situation, but is a real concern.
And another angle here is if, for example, you have a vehicle, but you have no home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In the last couple of years in particular, the notion of van life and car camping have become hugely popular. Countless websites and YouTube channels and Facebook groups devoted to this stuff. You don't need to interact with anybody. Just spend a couple hours surfing through some of the videos, some of the posts that people are making, some of the blog posts, and you're going to come away with just a litany of tips and suggestions and little hints and tricks, things that you can do to make life a little bit easier until you get to where you want to be in life. You know, there are people out there who have been car camping for years. Mm-hmm. They have no home. Their home is their vehicle, and they are having the time of their life doing it. You know, the van life thing. My wife and I talked about doing that 30 years ago. You know, just living in an RV for a while. There are ways to accomplish these things. There are ways to earn money while you're doing it. You know, whether it's online or, you know, a lot of people are writers, a lot of people are influencers and content creators, that kind of thing. There are all kinds of ways you can earn money and support yourself without a home, without an apartment, without a condo or a house or whatever the case is. And it's definitely worth taking some time to read through some of those things to pick up some little tricks. I read an article, I don't know, a couple of years ago, I think it was in Off Grid magazine, where they tasked three writers with this idea of, okay, we're going to hand you $100 and you are homeless for, I think it was 3 days. And the only thing you have are the clothes on your back and this $100. What would you do? How would you survive? What would you buy? Things like that. And it was really interesting to see the different approaches that they made, the different purchases they would decide to make in order to make it through this admittedly very short time frame of 3 days. You know, where would you go? Where could you safely go to sleep? You obviously can't afford a hotel. I mean, even a real cheap hotel. You're going to be sleeping outdoors. Where can you go where you would be safe? And what do you do in inclement weather?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one of the approaches that they used, guys said, I'm going to the dollar store. And I'm buying, and he had this giant list of stuff because everything's a buck, you know. Now, the quality might be questionable on some of these things, but they're going to get you through at least a few days before they start falling apart, you know. I'm not a huge fan of what we call dollar store prepping. because if I am quite literally betting my life on my equipment, I want it to be the best I can afford. And I've had the experience of trying to do a car repair with dollar store wrenches, and they turn into pretzels, and I'm still not getting that bolt off. You know, yeah. I'm not betting my life on that type of stuff.
Like,
by the same token, I fully recognize that a lot of people are not in a position to go out and spend a whole ton of money on top of the line gear. You know, you kind of have to weigh your options and decide where you want to spend the bulk of your dough. You know, and that answer is going to be different for everybody.
That's a super fun exercise. Like, my brain would go to, I need water. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the first thing I need. So where can I get free water? I'm going to buy a cup there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to refill. It's going to be reusable. It's going to be durable, because if it breaks, then I have to buy a new one. So if I only have to buy it once, that's going to save me money. I'm going to fill up that water as many times as they're going to let me.
So you're going to get yourself a big dumb cup.
A big dumb cup. I know somebody who watches Saturday Night Live. I'm never thirsty because I have this big dumb cup.
All right, let's see what else we got here. We have one that is specifically for Jim. It's addressed to you, Jim. This one came in via email. Awesome. Hey guys, love the show. Question for Jim: where can a novice go for wilderness training?
Whew. Okay. If you are willing to spend some time and some money. I highly recommend Nature Reliance School in Kentucky. We had the owner of that school on a previous show. Craig Caudill is a marvelous instructor, highly recommended. He has a huge number of courses that he does throughout the year. He also has an online segment where you can subscribe to. It's almost like Patreon in a sense, for those of you who are familiar with it, where you're paying a subscription fee and then you get access to all these different videos and all this different course content. If you are not able to make a trip to Kentucky to take one or more of his courses, there, to the best of my knowledge, there's at least one or two wilderness schools in almost every state.
Oh, really?
If you're willing to do a little digging. Mm. Now, I'm not saying that I've personally vetted all of these schools. You're going to want to do that on your end. But do a little digging, and you can probably find a few of them. The most important element when it comes to learning wilderness survival is what we call dirt time. You are not going to learn these skills and become proficient in them sitting in your house. You need to get outside and you need to get dirty. You need to actually do these things, these projects and these lessons and whatnot.
You're not going to get it from a YouTube video?
No. Believe it or not, YouTube University is not the ideal educational resource to get a degree in wilderness survival. Nor is any course that you're going to see advertised on Facebook. If you have an ad on Facebook that pops up that you should buy this book because so-and-so wrote it, 9 times out of 10, I'm finding those are AI written, number one. I came across a course in wilderness survival not too long ago on Facebook where they had a list of like 15 different individual classes that they teach. And one of them was advanced wilderness survival. And the other one was wilderness survival advanced skills. And I've asked, I posted a comment, what's the difference between these two? And the AI engine has not answered me yet.
There you go.
I don't know. But yeah, I mean, you can learn a lot of the simple stuff yourself just through trial and error. You know, read the books, watch some videos, and then go outside and try it and see what works and what doesn't, you know, and you'll eventually start to develop almost your own style on how you're going to accomplish different goals. Creek Stewart is a well-known instructor in the survival world. He's had a whole bunch of different TV shows and books and all that. And one of the things that he says that I happen to agree with is survival is simple. Just don't die.
It's a novel idea.
You know, I mean, that's what it boils down to. Learning ways to, you know, like we said with Craig, learning ways to be hard to kill. And that doesn't just apply to threats. It applies to the world itself.
Yep. I recently stumbled upon a Facebook thread that was discussing like who would win in a fight, like someone who's like a trained mixed martial artist or like an army ranger. And I read through the whole thing. So like as an army veteran, like, yes, I've had hand-to-hand combat training. But if a dude's going to come at me swinging, like it's not going to take much to take me down. But if a motherfucker tries to grab me, I'm going to fuck his shit up. I'm not joking.
Yep.
When I was deployed, there was a lot of sexual assaults happening on the FOB at night. Two women in the living area. And at night, my roommate, who is also a female, worked nights and I worked days. And so I never had anyone to go to the bathroom, to walk. We call them battle buddies. We go together. Right. Have anyone. But if you got to go, you got to go. And girls don't pee in bottles as well as dudes do. Right. So I had a hatchet. And I would unsheath that hatchet because you take an, we got M16s. Like I'm not hurting anybody.
Right.
I might turn really strong and that's it. So I would unsheath this hatchet and would walk like very, you know, to the bathroom because I'm not an easy target.
Yeah,
and what made me the most nervous was not getting attacked. I didn't think I was going to get attacked. But if someone did attack me, I was going to kill them because what choice do I have?
Exactly.
I have this weapon. Yep. I know where to hit you. I know where I need to slice and dice.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To make sure that, you know, if you're fighting me, you only got about 2 minutes to fight.
Yep. Yep.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jim.
I just related this story to somebody else online earlier today. When I was younger, I used to play a lot of pool, like a lot. That was like my life was playing pool, particularly at this little bowling alley where I also worked. I basically grew up there. And in the conversation I was having today, we were talking about, you know, self-defense and things like that. And I mentioned how, you know, back then, if things were starting to get dicey, you know, guys would grab cue sticks and they're going to, you know, swing these cue sticks around. I didn't grab cue sticks. I grabbed three or four of the balls off the table because back then I had one hell of a pitching arm and I could knock you right on your ass at about 20 feet without batting an eye. And that way I didn't have to worry about how long that cue stick was and if it could reach me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all about thinking outside the box and making use of the resources available to you.
All right. Do we have a topic for next week yet? We do not, do we?
Not as of yet.
All right. This last listener question, she expresses that she's worried about political violence as we head into the election. I am too.
Me too.
And something we haven't talked about yet on this show.
We haven't because we don't talk about politics, but we're not talking about the politics today.
Well, no. What I think we need to talk about is how to be the gray man or the gray woman. Something I have a lot of experience with. Jim, I know you as a private investigator, you certainly do. Daisha, I'm sure they taught you that theory in the Army as well, right?
It might be called something different.
Okay. It's basically how to not be noticed, how to blend in.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I think we should perhaps the next episode, we should devote to that. And
yeah.
you know, particularly, yes, in this election cycle, how to blend in, how to not be noticed, how to not be a victim of political violence.
Yep.
So I think we'll table that one and we'll do a whole episode on it soon.
Yeah.
We're also coming up very soon. We have to get to firearms because a lot of folks want more on that. And
yeah.
I know we covered the basics today, but there's so much more to get into.
Yeah.
So before we jump off, do any of us have any questions for each other? I can't think of any, but we let the listeners ask questions. We should give ourselves an opportunity to ask questions too.
Nothing immediately comes to mind, at least that is at all even remotely related to our show.
Touche.
I mean, we can sit and shoot the shit for hours, but never talk about prepping.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, before we jump off, something we haven't done in several episodes, and we really should. We should plug what we've got going on. So, Jim, what do you have going on, and where can our listeners find you?
Okay. Well, you can find all of my books on Amazon. Just type in Jim Cobb Prepper, and I think there's 10, 11 of them out there.
And Cobb is C-O-B-B.
C-O-B-B. Now, the one thing I would like to hawk or promote is this. This is the Real World Prepping 2025 Wall Calendar. You can find it at lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com, and just type in Real World Prepper and you'll find it. Now, here's the cool thing about this calendar. Number one, every photo was taken by my wife or I on one of our hikes.
Wow.
We've been going on hikes every single week since the fall of 2016. I've missed a handful of them due to health issues last year. My wife hasn't missed a weekend yet. So that's cool. On top of that, each month has a little QR code. At the end of November, the QR codes will go live. And what they will do is they'll bring you to my website where you're going to find a ton of essays and links to videos and book reviews and movie reviews and all that kind of stuff. Each month, you can see how there's all kinds of stuff filled in already. There's roughly, I think, 130 tips, tricks, suggestions, things like that to keep you moving forward through your prepping journey. So, for example, just grabbing a couple of them off of February, save to a flash drive copies of important documents. Invest in and or review water treatment options. Begin learning basic knot tying. If possible, start a compost bin or a compost pile. Now, some of these, it will say right on there, see website. That's partially where that QR code comes in. Every one of them that says see website links back to an article that will be on the website for further education.
Okay? That is a really cool idea.
That is really cool.
These run $21. Plus shipping. And again, they're at lulu.com. If you can't find it or you have other questions, drop me an email, jim@survivalweekly.com. I'm more than happy to direct you to any of my books or answer any questions you have related to prepping. This is quite literally what I do for a living.
Dasha, what about you? What do you got going on?
Oh, man. So I think right now, just like on the topic of what I'd like to promote is one of the anthologies that recently published this year was The Haunted Zone. And it's every contributor in this book of horror stories are female veterans or former service members here in the U.S., which is really, really cool. But in addition to that, the proceeds when you purchase the book also support women veteran programs. So I really, really, you can get them on Amazon. It's The Haunted Zone. And yeah, it's a horror anthology.
You can also get them at my bookstore, Vortex Books.
You can. I forgot about that.
Yep. So
that's awesome. Very cool. Pop in and scribble in some of them if I haven't already.
Yeah, and I've got Jim's books on the shelf too. So
that's good. Not otherwise, yet,
but you know.
Yeah. Otherwise, you can find me at DaciaMArnold.com. And Dacia is DACIA. If you just Google Dacia, you're going to find a bunch of cars. But if you Google Dacia Arnold, you'll find me.
There you go. I had a new novel come out about 2 weeks ago when listeners are finally hearing this episode, Island of the Dead. If you ever thought to yourself, boy, I'd like to see Conan the Barbarian fight George Romero's zombies, I have delivered that for you. It's a nice. Big, dumb, stupid, fun novel. It's not meant to be taken seriously. I mean, I get into some serious shit with it, but it's not meant to be taken seriously. It was a blast to write. So far, readers seem to be having a blast reading it. And that's available at all good bookstores, as well as, you know, online bookstores. And for more information on that or me, of course, go to briankeene.com, KEENE.com. And you can find all my social media and all that crap there. So you can also find links to How to Survive 2025, but the best way to find those is howtosurvive2025.com.
And then you can find all of us.
Yeah,
exactly. Yep.
All right, gentlemen, thank you for another amazing episode. And Brian, what do we want our listeners to remember?
I want them to know, especially now, it's going to be okay.
All right. All right, thank we'll see you, everybody.